Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, to the book of Ecclesiastes. Chapter number 10, we'll look at three verses tonight if you'll join me in the middle verse of verses 16 through 18. Join with me please on verse number 17 of Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. Stand with me, please, and in Ecclesiastes chapter number 10, I'll begin at verse number 16. Join with me on verse number 17, and I'll finish in verse 18. Woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child, and thy princes eat in the morning. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness. By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, again, we come, and Lord, just want to thank you for the time that we have to open your word. And Lord, thank you that your word, Lord, we can always go to it. We can get something, Lord, that will not only work on us, but will completely change us. I pray, Lord, that you please speak to us tonight. Point to our hearts and point to our lives that we need to be improved on, what we need to work on. And I pray that you please just convict us. And just work through our preacher as he speaks with the special music. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain, and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change and you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, child, you are never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is is still God of the night. We talk of faith when we're up on the mountain, but dark comes easy when life's at its best. It's down in the valley of trials and temptations, that's when faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God of the night. The God of the day is still God of the night.
Good stuff. Thank you, Ryan. You know, the only way you ever know God is God of the night is if you go there. You have to go there to know that. It's not always enjoyable, but when you get there, it's sure good to know that He's not asleep and He's not away. So, all right, we're going to pick up where we left off a couple weeks ago, Seasons of Life Building number 6. I have some other things to deal with for the next couple. I'll probably be here again next Sunday night on this series, and then we've got some interruptions on Sunday nights, and then we'll get back to it. I do want to finish it. Talking about Seasons of Life Building, this is the 6th one in this series. Let's pray together, and we'll jump in. Father, I thank You for the good songs, all the music that we've heard tonight or sung tonight. Think about that choir song. What can we say about Jesus? Oh, thank You, Lord, for that good song. And then this good song. And I pray that You'll help us now in the preaching time. Help me, oh God, please. May my mind be clear and focused. May our hearts, Lord, be tuned in. I pray that we put aside now all the, and some even legitimate cares that are pressing people. And for these moments, give it completely to You. Lord, no cell phone interruptions, no alerts or buzzes or anything, so that we can concentrate and just give these moments to You fully, so that You can have our hearts and do with them what You please and as You will. And that's my prayer, and I pray for Your power and help in Christ's name. Amen. Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. So we're taking that verse and saying that there are certain purposes for every season in life. Taking it a decade at a time, we looked at 0 to 10, and now we've been thinking about the years of about 11 years of age through 18. That's not quite what we would call a decade, but call it the time when young people in American society are in junior and senior high school. And a couple of previous messages to the young people and about the young people in that season of life building. Don't forget it. Remember, young people, that you are young. Just keep that in your mind. Josiah was 16 years of age, and the Bible says about him at 16, while he was yet young. Stay humble. You don't know it all. There's nothing more nauseating than a know-it-all teenager, okay? And some of us adults that said amen were probably that teenager a few years ago, all right? And so we were the nauseating one. So, look, stay humble. Have humility. Just realize you're not an adult yet. You're more adult than you are kid, but you're young. Just handle it, okay? Just be okay with it. Then stay humble. And then I talked about this. Stay teachable. And God becomes, in this time frame, this decade, God becomes your God. God becomes personal, and God becomes your pursuit. Everything you do in life is with an eye on God's will and God's blessing. Everything you do in life, with an eye on, I want to be in God's will, and I want to have God's blessing on my life. Now, let me talk about something entirely different than that tonight. In Solomon's other book here, Ecclesiastes, we find a reference to something that really needs attention during this second decade, really and truly, it should probably start toward the end of the first decade. So probably along the lines of the 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 years of age, all the way up through age 18. Now I want you to see again what Solomon said in verses 16 and 17. He said, "Woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child, and thy princes eat in the morning. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness." The first word in verse 16 is the word woe. The second, this first word in verse 17 is the word blessed or blessed. So you got a contrast here. Solomon's giving us a contrast. He contrasts a nation's fortunes when their king is childish to when their king is a prince. If you like to mark your Bible, beside verse number 16, when it says, "When thy child is a king," you can write Obama. And then we're in verse number 17, where it says, "When thy king is the son of nobles," you can write Ronald Reagan. Because that's a good comparison to what Solomon's talking about here. It has nothing to do with the color of the skin. Get that out of your head. It's everything to do with the man's character or lack thereof. Now look what it says, okay? It says, woe. That is a term of grief. That is a term of sorrow. That is a term of misery. That is a hearty calamity, okay? When your leader is childish and eats and drinks, that you know, and just plays incessantly and shoots off at the mouth, that cop was stupid. That's one of the very first things he said back in when he became president. The guy was when they thought that guy was breaking into the house, and then he was belligerent and they arrested him. Then we got to have a beer summit. Now that's childish. That's absolute childishness. Okay? He says here this phrase right when the word of the old land, when thy child is a king and thy princes eat in the morning. That's a reference to being slothful and lazy during what is normally the most productive time of the day. Look, you fellows that have a work ethic, you know that not everybody's different. Some folks are night owls and some folks are early birds. I've always been an early bird. But you know, folks, the truth of the matter is I get a lot done before 9 o'clock in the morning. A lot. Now, some jobs are different. Some jobs are different. But really, you know, shave and shower and clean up, it takes me about 25. It used to take 20. That takes about 25. I guess the better looking you get, the longer it takes. Amen? But I don't know. Baby. I suppose that's what it is. You got to be more careful with that mug. So that's a joke. No, that's true. Oh, we should probably eliminate that one from the recording. But anyway, I don't know where that came from. But anyway, we'll probably my wife. I think she told me that this morning. But anyway, no, seriously. You know, look. If, especially if you set your own schedule. Now, some of you, your schedule is set for you. But if you set your own schedule, you get a lot accomplished by 9 o'clock in the morning. And he's saying here, eating in the morning is a reference to wasting time. He's indulging. Woe unto you, O land, when your king is a child, acts like a little kid. Just eats and drinks and incessantly and plays. And all this stuff, and go, you know, they make a god of their belly, and they make a slave, they're a slave to their appetite. That's what he's talking about here. Now, this is not a reference to age. This is not a reference to age. This has nothing to do with age. Josiah was age 8. Solomon was a young man when he became king. Their people did okay under their leadership. It's talking about age here. It's talking about their character. It's talking about their work ethic. Matthew Henry said this. I love it. The body staggers if the head be giddy. Now you think about that. The body staggers if the head be giddy. No wonder we're stumbling around like a drunken sailor in the country right now. The head be giddy. Then look at verse number 17. Here comes the contrast. All right, verse 16 is one. Here's the contrast in verse 17. Blessed art thou, happy art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, when he has character, when he has integrity, when he's a noble and active spirit. Look at what it says. And thy princes eat in due season. They eat when they're supposed to. And look at why they eat. For strength and not for drunkenness. They're not indulging. They're eating to live, not living to eat. I think sometimes I fall in the other category a little bit. But that's what he's saying here. They are not indulging themselves. They're eating for the purpose of strength, fuel for their bodies, because they're active and they want to get things done. They're accomplishing. And happy are you, nation, when that kind of person is in leadership. So basically, verses 16 and 17 are contrast between how a lazy man leads a nation and how a man with a good work ethic leads a nation. That's what the contrast is. Now look at verse 18. By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. And when he's talking about a building and a house here, in context, he's not talking about a residential place. He's talking about a nation, a king. Look at it. By much slothfulness, the building decayeth, the country decays. How are we doing? And through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. Now, here is the important matter that I want to give some attention to tonight, and that must be given attention that the kids who are in the age bracket of 8 to 18, they must give some attention to this. In this second decade of life, if you will, they must learn to work. Got to learn to work. Got to learn to work. Got to learn to work. Here's something interesting that I searched this week in the Word of God. I was looking through the Bible. I took the words slothful, slothfulness, sluggard, idle, idleness, and slack. All of those words are synonyms for being lazy. Okay? And I searched through all the Scripture, everywhere those words are used, and not once does it say that slothfulness or slothful or sluggard or idle or idleness or slack, not once does it say that those are in the heart of man. Not one time. Now, there are many evils and there are many wicked ways that are found in the heart of mankind. And there's many verses on that subject. I used a couple of them this morning. That are just in the heart of mankind. Many verses on that. But nowhere in the Bible does it say that laziness is in the heart of man. And I know people have different temperaments and personalities, and some are more aggressive and others are passive. But a good work ethic is a matter of character, and it can and needs to be taught and trained in all of our young people. I don't think anybody, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't believe everybody is born lazy. I believe there are some people born with an industrious spirit. Now, sometimes that industriousness is more to play than to work. And it has to be focused and it has to be directed. It's got to be turned in the right direction. But it's not a matter of this is how I was born and I can't change myself. Because nowhere in the Bible does it ever say that in the heart of man is laziness. This is a matter of character. This is a matter of integrity. This is a matter of growing up. This is a matter of maturing. It's a matter where our country is scoring a big fat F on the report card when it comes to a good work ethic. It's not a matter of speed. It's not a matter of how fast. Some people work faster than others. Some work fast. Some work slow. I remember once when I, over the years here, young ladies especially, and even with the young men, they get interested in somebody in college or college age, and their dad or mom or whoever called me and said, "Pastor, could you talk to so-and-so?" And so one of the girls that was growing up here got interested in a fella in another area, and I called the pastor, and I said, "Okay, we got a girl here that's interested in a young man in your church." And I go through a series of questions that I ask. Young people, you need to live with that in mind. That someday somebody's going to call me. And I'm not going to lie to them. Not going to do that. Okay? I'm not looking for perfection. But I call a pastor for a good family in this church that wants help for their young people. I want that pastor to be honest with me. Okay? So I call him. I say, "Well, how's this work?" One of the questions, if it's a boy, especially even girls, because this is true. But look, ladies need a work ethic just like men do. So I say, "How's this work ethic?" And the pastor, he thought for a minute, and he said, "You know, Brother Angel," he said, "he is not a fast worker, but he works." He said, "For instance, if we're working together, what might take me 30 minutes to do might take him 75. But he gets it done. He gets it accomplished. Now, that doesn't bother me. He said it's not a matter of laziness. It's just a matter of he moves slower than I do. Some people move. They have quick movements. Some people move slower. We're not talking here about a matter of speed. It's a matter of a good mental approach and a desire to work hard and a desire to be thorough and developing a good work ethic. And Solomon had much to say about this in the book of Proverbs. He uses those words I just told you. He uses those words 20 times in 31 chapters. So I would say that's one of the topics that he majors on in the book of Proverbs to young people. He emphasizes this matter of a strong work ethic. Now, I just want to say tonight that this really falls on the shoulders of the parents. Dads, moms, I know you're busy. I know you're busy. I know you're busy. We were busy. When you do get to the empty nest and you look back, you wonder to yourself, how did we do everything? How did we get all that done? And I know you're busy, but you have to take time to develop this in your children, and it really becomes necessary in this second decade of life. Now, I want to say this before I give you a few suggestions. I acknowledge that things have changed drastically here in the United States of America. Things have really... We are a more city society than we are rural. And in the old days, people lived in rural areas, and just when you live in a rural area, by default, there's more to do than in a city. Just by default, okay? And we've also changed because of the American society the way it is. You can't just let your children, you've heard me say this, I don't want to belabor it, but I'll say it again. In Atlanta, this is before we moved outside the city, in the city limits, at 10 years of age, I had my own paper route. At 10, who is 10 in here? Joey, you're 10 years of age. There's a 10-year-old, okay? I was Joey's age. I called my folks. I don't want to tell you something that's not true. So I called my folks. And I said, let's go back to the days. You remember the days when I threw the Atlanta Journal? Atlanta had two papers. They had a morning paper and an afternoon paper. Atlanta Constitution, Atlanta Journal, 7 days a week. On Sunday, they were combined. Atlanta Journal-Constitution. The other 6 days, two papers. We've come a long way from that, haven't we? Two newspapers a day. And I would ride a bike between 1.5 and 2 miles at 10 years of age away from my house to pick up my papers, ride the bicycle to the route area. I was gone from my home in the city of Atlanta for 2 to 2.5 hours as a 10-year-old boy. I wouldn't let my kid do that today. Okay? And one of the reasons we moved, because things changed in the city of Atlanta, and I started getting, we started getting held up, my brother and I, on the paper route. People trying to take the money. They thought we had money. We went collecting. I had to handle money. But I'm talking about at 10 years of age. 10, I understand. And I'm not saying, what's the matter with, that your 10-year-olds are. I wouldn't let my 10-year-old do that. It's changed. A society has changed. All right? But that's what it used to be like. I marvel at that. I marvel at it. I saw a kid throwing papers the other day. He jumped out of a car and went, bam, and hit the door, the front door. If I'd have done that, my soul, man. I could see those old ex, those veteran guys coming out of there with their flat top haircuts. They'd have called me. Oh, God, I'm going to chew. They would never put up with that. I had to open the screen door and put the paper behind the screen door. It's just, it's incredible. Anyway, but, I'm just, the point I'm making is, look, I know times have changed. It's not the society that it used to be, but you can't lay down and die on this. You've got to do something about it. You have to make it a matter of prayer if necessary, but they've got to learn to work. It's going to be far more important that they can work than it is that they can play basketball. And I'm not against the basketball. It's far more important that they can work than it is that they can play volleyball. And I'm not against the volleyball. I enjoy it. But we put the priority on all the things that are not that important. It's important that they learn to work. Here's some suggestions. Four of them. I'm done. Number one, what are we going to do? I've got to teach this kid how to work. When am I going to start where you live? Just start where you are, folks. I get so weary of folks who sit back and say, well, if I had. You don't have it. If I had 5 acres, if I had 10 acres, we could. You don't have it. If you wait for that, you're never going to teach them to work. Start where you live. Bedrooms should not be allowed to look like Nagasaki after the atom bomb went off. Shouldn't be allowed to look like that. And we laugh. And I want to tell you something. Anyway. Play areas should not be virtual fields of landmines where you step on toys and games and break your ankle. Start where you live. Girls can learn to do laundry. Boys can learn to do lawn work. And I'll tell you something. You say, I'm having a hard time finding something for my girls to do. You know, there's a way to get dishes clean without a dishwasher. Well, that takes too long. Exactly. Exactly. And washing with soap and washing it. When they got the dishwasher, hey, it's more important that your girl learn how to work if it means washing dishes by hand. Quit making excuses. Find a way to make it happen. Mow the grass with a push mower. I get tickled. Maybe some of you do this. It's okay, but I get tickled when I see these little residential lots and they're cutting grass. They're riding mowers and these wouldn't take you 15 minutes to push it. You know, but they're riding around them. But they could use a push mower. Animals, music lessons, and gardens are great tools to help build a work ethic. Because all of those require consistency. Consistency. Animals have to be taken care of. I know you can't have a cow in your backyard. I know that. Oh, do you remember that little place we lived? Brother Maxwell in North Washington there on North 3rd Street. I don't know if you remember that little place we lived in up there. We gave away chickens one time, little baby chicks in the bus route. And seriously, little baby chickens. We gave out baby chickens and bad people came by the droves to get them. But anyway, there were some chickens left over. They were Leghorns. Have you ever raised chickens? Leghorns don't get fat. Leghorns are skinny, but there was like 10 or 12 left over. And so I got this bright idea that I was going to take them to my house. I took them to my house, and I built a little chicken pen back there in a residential neighborhood. And I got all these roosters, all these Leghorns in the back. And, you know, the break of dawn, rah, rah, rah. You know, man, they're all crowing. I don't know what the neighbors thought. My wife came home one day, and the roosters had gotten up. They were running all over the neighborhood. She was out there chasing after all those chickens trying to get them penned up. I know you can't do stuff like that in town. I know you can't, but you could have some kind of animal. These music lessons, gardens, they require consistency. They require the kids to do something every day, even when they don't feel like it, because they're all excited that first 7 days. Oh, yeah. They're all excited. How about those music lessons? I asked Brother Rick how it was going. He said, it was great. I said, it's 2 weeks. Oh, man. How about after 2 months? It requires consistency and staying at it. Even playtime should be creative, not spent in front of DVDs and video games and television. The bushes could be trimmed. The snow shoveled. They will have to be taught how to do it right. There's cooking. There's cleaning. Schoolwork should be attended to. And they should go to school faithfully, whether it's here or at home. Here or home. You know, you don't want your kids. Look, it's very hard to get perfect attendance in the school year. But, you know, you don't want to make a habit out of not going to school just because, well, I don't feel like it today. Well, too bad. Get up and go to school. Well, why do I have to? Because it's school. And I'm not against a homeschooler. I have not been against it unless you're not doing it. Get one shot to educate your kids. And you're doing them a horrible disservice if you're horsing around at home and taking advantage of no structure in school and letting it slide. And when they get to college and they can't write a complete paragraph with any kind of sense to it, it's not going to be their fault as much as it is yours. Teach them. Structure. We're talking about having things to do. Folks, start where you live. Start where you live. Stop making excuses. Put your mind, engage your mind. Start thinking, what can I do? What can I create to this situation to build a work ethic in my kid's life? Start where you live. Number two, after you start where you live, look for opportunities to expand. Maybe a girl could take up cleaning for an older lady who's looking to get some help. Maybe that in your neighborhood or one of your even your relatives. But expand. Maybe the boy could get a lawnmower. And maybe you dads could buy the lawnmower and teach your boy. I'm going to buy you this lawnmower, and it's going to cost this much amount of money. I'm going to buy you this gas can. And then you're going to start mowing lawns, and you're going to get paid for mowing the lawns. And then you're going to take a certain percentage of that, and you're going to give that to the Lord as a tithe, because the tithe is the Lord's. It belongs to Him. And then you're going to pay me back this amount, and then you're going to put this amount in the bank, and then you can put this amount in your pocket. You don't let them work just to have money to blow and spend. You know, and I know mowing lawns is not a glamorous type of business. But, you know, I told you this years and years ago. There was a young, this is years ago. There was a young man in our school here. And we were talking one day, and I don't know how he got on this subject, but he was talking about, what I would really like to do is get a job. I'd really like to get a job. I said, aren't you working? He said, yeah, I mow grass. He said, I'd like to get a job. Like, you know, I said, like what? He said, like at McDonald's or Burger King. This is what he said to me. I'd like to get a job. I said, hey, let me ask you a question. How many lawns do you mow? He said, I mow two lawns. I said, how long does it take you? He said, one lot takes me about 45 minutes, and the other lot takes me about an hour and 15 minutes. I said, how much do you get paid? He said, you get paid a total of $50 for both lawns. I said, okay, explain this to me. You want a job where you can make $7 an hour when you got a job that's paying you $25 an hour? And he kind of looked at me like, I never thought of that before. I'm not even making fun. Why would you want a job paying $7 an hour when you got one that's paying $25? That didn't make any sense. And you know, people, we say nobody wants to help kids. I take an issue with that. People want to help kids who will work. If the kids will work, people like to help them. If they're goof-offs, no, they don't want to help them. And they won't. But if a kid loves to work and a kid does it right and he brings that lawnmower over there and he mows that lawn like they like it and he sweeps up the clippings and cleans off the sidewalks when he was never asked to and does a little extra, people love to help kids who have a good work ethic. So you want to look for opportunities to expand. And by the way, even though we dumb to go from $25 an hour to $7 an hour, the truth of the matter is, and I've said this over and over through the years, money is not the big issue. Learning to work is the much bigger issue. It's a much bigger issue than the money. And you know, if you want to give them an allowance, that's up to you. That's your choice. But don't feel like you owe them for helping around the house. You know, the value in work is the work itself, not how much you get paid for it. Well, how to stress that enough? There are folks in the world who, even when their kids are ready to go to work, well, they better get paid. What? It's not as near as important that they get paid as that they learn to work. They learn to work, they'll get paid someday. They'll get paid someday. So, start where you live. Look for opportunities to expand. Number three, teach them what you know. Teach them what you know. What do you know? Do you know woodworking? Teach it to them. Do you know metalworking? Teach it to them. Do you know accounting? What do you know? Do you know car repair? Do you know construction? Do you know plumbing? Do you know electricity? What do you know? Do you know painting? Do you know landscaping? What do you know? Do you know cooking? Do you know sewing? Do you know crafting? Do you know typing? Do you know organizing? What do you know? Teach them what you know. I know it takes more time to do it with them as opposed to doing it by yourself. But if you'll do it with them, maybe you won't have to support them when they're 30. Maybe. I'm dead serious about it. Teach them what you know. Now let me address this in this point. What about a job? What about a job? Well, at some point, they probably should land some kind of job. They probably should. I don't think they need to land. And when I talk about a job, I'm talking about not like a lawnmower, not like a cleaning job where they go once a week. I'm talking about a job where there's a structured 30, 35, 40-hour work week where they have to go out somewhere and work at a place of business or retail store or something. And there are good things about that, folks. They need to learn to take orders. They need to learn how to handle money. They need to learn a trade, if at all possible, if at all possible. But they can't work on Sundays. They can't. You just got to bear down. You just got to bear down. And I would say even you put the same priority on Wednesday nights. You say, well, they won't let me have off. Your best leverage is a strong work ethic. Several years ago, one of our young ladies took a job at a small retail shop in this town, Bourbonnais. And the dad came to me and said, when they hired her, we told them no Sundays. And then they came and said, well, we need her work Sunday. I said, well, I'd go down there. I'd say, you told us when you hired her that they weren't going to work Sundays. She wasn't going to work Sundays. And she's not going to work Sundays. And I said, brother, tell your daughter to be the best worker in the place. Be the best worker there. And then when she says, I can't work Sundays, they say, well, we'll have to let you go. I say, okay. As difficult as it is for these retail owners to find people to even show up, you're going to tell me that they're going to let the best worker walk? Now, they might be hard-headed and stupid, but if I'm a business owner and this is the best worker I've got, and I can have them Monday through Saturday, and there's one day of the week I can't have them, not because they're going to go play, but because they're going to go sit in the church and listen to preaching. I'm going to find a way to keep that kid. I don't care if your hair lifts everybody else in the building. I'm going to find a way. But if you're a slouch, you have no leverage. If you're the best worker they got, you've got leverage, man. And that's the truth. That's exactly what happened. That young lady was the best worker in that small retail shop. And when Dad went down and said, you know, if you work her, she's not going to work. And by the way, well, just once, you've got to stand your ground. You've got to stand your ground. And they waived it, and she kept her job there. Folks, look, I don't know of anything that is interfering with the spiritual development of new Christians like working on Sunday. I don't know anything. You can't hardly lead somebody to the Lord today and start talking to them about coming to church, but they say, yeah, I work on Sundays. And I know some of you sitting in this room, in circumstances, get called in, but it is not a routine. It is not regular. I'm talking about where that Sunday is a part of their regular work week. I'm not talking about you men that get called in when the ox is in the ditch. I'm talking about where these people are newly saved and they need so... Well, why can't you just give it to them at their house? People, if everybody could grow at home, why did the Lord Jesus ever institute the assembly? There is something that an assembly of born-again, baptized believers coming together does for you that nowhere else on planet Earth can do. I'll believe that as long as I live. Why did Jesus start it? It's crazy. And their work interferes with it. And it is just so difficult. Now, if it's a good job and it conflicts with the youth program, Brother Mick has an activity about once a month. You know, if it's a good job and they can get on most of the youth activities, then I don't think every once in a while it hurts to miss. But the youth activity. But I would always ask My church is having, our youth group is having an activity. Can I have some time to go on the youth activity? I would always ask. A lot of times, folks, we don't even ask. We just bow. And if you have to miss an activity every now and again, I understand, okay, to keep a good job. But if you ought to be at one where you can go faithfully, and not just to the play activities, to the activities like yesterday, where they had a good time. So, this is just some suggestions. Teenager, are you lazy? And by the way, you don't have a great work ethic if the only place you work is where you get paid for it. And then you come sit at home and your bedroom looks like the bomb went off in it. But, I'm a good worker. I've got a job. What are you doing off the job? Work ethic is more than just having a work ethic on the job while you're on the clock. You better avoid laziness like you would avoid leprosy. And I'm serious as a heart attack about that. Get a mind to work. That needs to be one of the first considerations when you get interested in somebody down the road. Not if he's handsome or is she cute. Do they know how to work? Do they know how to work? Now, number four, and I'm done. Along with working, teach them the importance of service work. And what do I mean by that? There should be an attitude of helping people for no pay when possible. Just serving others. Being a blessing. You know, I think Brother Vineyard has gotten very, very sick. You remember that? He got that big old tumor behind his sternum. It's still there. It's been there for how many years now? And all those intricate vessels and arteries or whatever they are, they can't take it out. He's a skeleton of a man. It's pathetic to see him. I just hate it. But there was a day when that church and that college were turning out some of the great missionaries that are around the world today came out of that place. I'm serious. Some of the great mission works around the world. And you know what characterized them? They had a servant spirit. They would come in, help, do, clean, get their hands dirty, get their hands wet, get their hands sweaty, just jumping in. They were trained that, you know, you don't have to get paid for everything you do. Just be a blessing. Be a blessing. Learn to have a servant's heart. And when you get that kind of spirit and that kind of attitude, that creates a tremendous young adult. You've got young adults in this world. If they're asked to do something, what the first thing they want to know is, what am I going to get? And if it's not worth getting, if there's something not worth getting, they're not interested. That's the height of selfishness. Learn, teach the kids to have a spirit of service work, an attitude of service work. Look, I don't take this as being pessimistic, okay? It's just people my age, I don't want to go back and be 29 again. I don't. So you live longer. Well, I still don't want to go back and be 29. I feel for you. I think you got a harder road to hoe. You got a crazier country to grow your family up in. I like what Brent Gellis said, the insanity that is this world, the only answer is Jesus Christ. He said that a few weeks ago in this pulpit. That's true. I feel for you, but you cannot lay down and die and wave the white flag in this area. You've got to get creative. You've got to get your mind. You've got to put your mind to it and say, hey, we're going to find a way to teach our kids to work. We're going to find a way to teach our kids to work. You know, old dad, bless his heart, I told you before, man, we'd go out there on Saturdays and the boys would be walking by with their balls. Come on, let's go play. And Mom brought that. When I called Mom to rehearse the paper out because I wanted to give it to you straight for the day, she had just gotten up. She was washing her face in the bathroom and Dad was still laying in the bed. And he said, Anda? And she said, yes. Is this address 3901 Dune Way? And she said, yes. He said, all right, I've got to call my wife, tell her to come pick me up and get me out of here. I got to go home. And she said, okay, we'll give her a call. You know, and that's just where it is. Just where it is. But I'll tell you what. When we were young and he was at home and us on Saturdays, Mom said, you remember, Terry, where every Saturday he would take you and Tim and Tom outside? I said, I remember. And those boys would walk down the street with their bats and balls and say, come on, let's go play. And you'd look at your dad and dad would say, not till the work's done. Not till the work's done. I love that man with all of my heart. They're having their 60th wedding anniversary in May, Lord willing, and we're going to go down for it. My wife and I, and be with him for a few days. If I love him for anything, I'm thankful that he taught us how to work. And didn't just tell us to go did it with us. Did it with us. And dads, you put some effort in it, and your boys, when they get older, are going to look at you and someday say, man, I'm glad you taught me how to work. Glad you taught me how to work. It's this decade. Trevor, how old are you, 12? 13, Brother Todd, it's right now. It's on. Brother McDonald, you're it's on, man. It stays on with Brother McDonald. Amen. It just <It's> a... What are you laughing about, Thomason? You got a bunch of them. It's on. Brother Zingry, it's on, brother. And you got it going. I know you do. But hey, y'all are in it. This is your time. Rise up to the challenge. Teach them how to work. Get it done. Okay? You'll be glad you did. Let's stand together. Father in heaven, bless our church. Bless our families. Bless these young people. Please help us in this area. Oh, my goodness. Help us in this area. And help the young people to take to it, God. Help them to have the right spirit and attitude about it. Help them, I pray, if they know in their hearts that they're given to laziness, I pray that they'll cooperate with their folks and overcome that. And develop a work ethic. God help them, I pray. Bless them, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm not going to go through a bunch of questions. It is what it is. The message is what it was. It was about a work ethic. Teenager, are you fussing at mom and dad for making you chore? Got to come down here tonight, get on your knees and say, God, I repent, apologize, and I'm not going to fight dad and mom anymore on the work thing. I'm going to cooperate and develop a work ethic. Dad, mom, give yourself to it. Whatever you got to do, get it done. Get it done. Get it done. With God's help, get it done. If you want to use the altar, I would. I would use it. I would get on my knees and ask God to help me. That's what I would do. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies are playing a song of invitation. You come tonight.